Welcome to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. I'm Isabel, your host and founder and firebrand of The Uprising Spark, a digital platform that offers life coaching products and services for modern, independent, child-free women. Our aim is to build a strong female community and to connect empowered women around the globe. Hello, Firecrackers, and welcome to a new episode of The Honest Uproar. Our guest today is Lauren. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi, good.
It's so nice to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So, Lauren, would you please introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, and, you know, what you want to share?
Yeah. So my name is Lauren. Right now I live in Florida, up in the Panhandle. So quite a bit different than the Tampa, Miami, you know, Fort Lauderdale areas. But I've kind of lived all over the country. I think I enjoy the South the most. It's warm down here and I really appreciate the warmth. I'm 30 and I'm a meteorologist for a living. So that is definitely one of those things that you have to be passionate about. My work generally stops when I go home, but I'm always kind of paying attention to what's going on out there.
Really? That's very interesting. I don't think I've ever met a meteorologist. Meteorologist.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
Meteorologist. I still have trouble spelling it, so it's okay. Yeah, I get that a lot. Most people think of meteorologists, you know, on TV, but there's a bunch of people behind the scenes and in other jobs and agencies and all sorts of stuff. But yeah.
And you're passionate about being a meteorologist.
Yeah. I mean, I work shift work and a lot of times I work more than 40 hours a week, depending on the weather. So I feel like you have to be passionate about it because I don't think anybody can work overnight shifts and work as much as we do and have long days and it not be somewhat of a passion.
And when did you decide that's what you wanted to do in life?
A lot of meteorologists have these really grand stories. Like they went through a tornado or they went through a hurricane or some blizzard. And I always grew up liking science. I actually had a laugh with my mom today, remembering that my two biggest fears growing up was a volcano popping up in the middle of my backyard or the world stopped turning. So I don't know how a 7-year-old knows these things, but it wasn't until high school until I realized I was really terrified of thunderstorms and tornadoes. And I decided to learn a little bit about them so I wouldn't be terrified. And when it came to me kind of deciding what major to do, my dad kind of recognized this math and science and this weather connection. And that's how I ended up there.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in your downtime then, if you're not thinking about weather you're doing?
It's funny. I like to sleep a lot because of shift work. So I'm usually doing that. But I've lived in 5 states in 10 to 12 years. I don't have a friend group that a lot of people have that have been in one spot for, you know, most of their life. I didn't really grow up with a lot of hobbies. It was mostly just sports. So the last 2 states I lived in, I played soccer still. Here I've kind of calmed down a little bit where I've realized I don't need to be on the go 24/7. And I don't need to feel like I'm in all these groups or going to these meetings. Cause I was in a couple groups in my last state and it just almost got daunting being like, oh, it's the first Monday. I need to go to this meeting or I need to go to this event. So I work out a lot and I consider people at the gym, you know, that's kind of my social hour. And I just took up scuba diving. I'm getting my certification. So I'm hoping that becomes kind of a little bit of a hobby for me. But as you'll find out probably later in this, I like to travel. So staying at home means I get to save some money and plan some trips. So I wouldn't say I have a ton of hobbies. It might be kind of boring, but shift work makes it really difficult to meet up with friends. And I can't commit to something every Sunday, for example. So it's been a little bit difficult, but I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, well, I can relate to that. Because, I mean, when you do a job that you like so much and you put so much into it, you get tired easily. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I also like staying at home, you know, just being here with my pet. I have a dog. I know you have a cat. So
yeah, I have 3 cats. I have 3 cats. So I have plenty, like you said, plenty of things here at home for me, and relaxing, watching Netflix and just being comfortable with the fact that it's okay just to stay at home and take some time for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the decision of you becoming child-free. When did that happen and why?
You know, I've had a lot of people ask me this, and I know a lot of women I've seen on Facebook that have these decision points, and I don't know if I ever made the decision. Like, I don't know if I ever woke up and said, I'm going to be child-free. It seemed to be something that kind of just grew. Like, my mom would always watch A Baby Story, which used to be, there used to be these two TV shows on TLC, I think. And they were literally about women giving birth. Like, one was real life. Like, the video was in the room and they blurred everything out. And the other one was kind of like, you know, where they redo it basically. And I grew up to these shows. And I think that has a thing with me. I think because I was so young when I started watching those, I just got this horrible view of childbirth. I mean, it's not that it's easy, but I had a horrible view of it. And then I remember my high school boyfriend, even at 16, talked a lot about wanting kids. And I just remember thinking, huh, like that was the first time I started putting the pieces together where I thought, I don't know if that's what I want. And I didn't know what my career was going to be at that point. I just remember having this weird feeling about it, that I just didn't think this was what I wanted in my life. And it kind of grew into college. My first 2 years of college, I kind of dated a guy on and off who talked about wanting kids a lot. And I still dated him. And it took a lot for me to finally say, this is not the life I want. So there was a lot of, when I was younger, thoughts like that going on. And then now that I've been in my career for 8 years, now some other pieces are starting to fall together where I'm starting to see how money works in real life. You know, college doesn't really give you that kind of, you know, you have all these bills and student loans and everything, and I'm very financially motivated, and I cannot see all this money that I spend on myself and on travel and now on my cat. I can't see that going to a kid. I can't see myself not having a savings account. So a lot of that, there's that aspect, and then there's an aspect of, I have always been in very good shape and I have like a fear of gaining weight. So yeah, I know it's really terrible.
I completely relate to that.
I have a lot of anxiety around pregnancy and childbirth. So I never made like one day woke up and made a decision. It was kind of this weird combination of everything. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I completely, like, I can relate, you know, to what you just mentioned about the fear of gaining weight. I wouldn't call it fear in my case. I would say I used to be like overweight. I don't think I was ever obese, but I was very overweight. The one thing that I had going for me is that I'm tall. But I grew up being the chubby kid and just, you know, being bullied for it. And then at some point I just decided to like start living a healthy lifestyle and, you know, got serious about exercising, got serious about, you know, my meals and just eating healthy and the correct hours, stop right. smoking, stop drinking alcohol. And now it's like, I would not give up.
You don't want to go back to that.
For a kid, after it took me so long and it was so hard to get here. So I completely understand.
That makes sense. And I'm kind of the way where I've never been overweight. And I have this like fear that I would get that way. And I just, you know, I've seen so many people be so small, then they have a kid and then they either gain weight or they never get that weight back off. And I'm just, I can't do that. But I also have like weird, I mean, not weird health issues, but I'm, you know, I'm hypothyroid. I have chronic fatigue and I have chronic back pain. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this today, actually thinking about this podcast. And I thought I would have to stop taking all of those medications other than my thyroid, but both medications I take for my back, I'd have to stop. And I just thought, what kind of pain would I be in if one, I ever got pregnant, but even just having to chase a child around all the time or getting 4 hours of sleep in a night. I mean, I'm getting 12 hours of sleep and I'm still tired. Mm-hmm. How would I ever be able to take care of a human being?
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. I mean, I think that, and I hear you talk, and this has been more or less the same that I've gotten from many of the ladies that I've already interviewed up until this point. And it's the fact that, you know, being child-free is really about making the choice, not only for the benefit of like us, as in I want to rest and I want to have, you know, my finances controlled, or, you know, there are a thousand other reasons, but also thinking about the well-being of, if I become a mother, I'm going to be a shitty mother, you know?
Yeah. Well, I made a comment once to somebody and I said, when I raised a puppy, I was like, it was every second, where's the puppy? Where's the puppy? Where's the puppy? And I was like, that's a puppy. He can at least go, you know, off to a corner and sleep and I not care about it. But a child, I mean, I can't even imagine. They looked at me and they're like, you're literally not having a kid because you think you'd be too good of a mother. And I was like, I mean, that's kind of a funny point that I said that, but it's true. It's like, I can't do it. I can't put that much mental energy into a child of having to think about watching this other thing 24/7.
Yeah.
That stresses me out just thinking about it.
I completely understand. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And like I said, there's a lot of that we have in common, you know, women that have decided to go down this path. But let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about traveling. You mentioned it 5 minutes ago. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I always wanted to travel. I don't know if it was in college or when it became known that I wanted to do something like that. And when I was just out of college, I did a lot of domestic traveling just in the United States to see friends from college. And then, but I knew I had this goal where, you know, I want to pay some things off. I want to get to a comfortable place in my career and I want to go bigger. I want to go international. And I actually kind of, and a couple exes ago, we broke up in 2015, but put me in a really terrible spot financially. And it took me a couple years to kind of dig myself out of, and this is me being single with no child, trying to dig myself out of this situation. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily living paycheck to paycheck, because I was paying things off as well. And then I kind of had a meltdown when I turned 30 last year. It was a little mini meltdown, but I thought, this is not the life I wanted by the time I was 30. I mean, I have no kids, you know, I make decent money. I thought by 30, I would have 5 or 6 international trips under my belt, if not more. And I just kind of had this, okay, we need to what is going on in your life? And I got lucky right around that same time, I got a promotion. I moved to Florida, sold my house, paid off a couple loans, put a little chunk into savings, got a raise, you know, so some things financially finally started to come together. And then I realized my significant other at the time, he did not want to travel. He did not understand travel. So I found these solo travel groups where you could just go in these 10 to 15 person groups. And I just told him, I'm going to start traveling. He said, okay. And I booked a trip down to the Galapagos. My second ever international trip going to the Galapagos was absolutely amazing. Not just because the Galapagos is amazing, but this kind of, I think you mentioned somewhere we were talking fulfillment or deep satisfaction. I think I just had this life-changing moment where I said, this is the life I'm waiting. This is the life I've been trying to build, this life where I can afford to go do these things. And now I know I don't have to wait for a significant other. I don't have to wait for a husband. I can go in these groups. And so I feel like after that, things kind of just started taking off where I was like, okay, you know, I want to go to all these places. I want to research all these groups. And I just have so many places in my head I want to go right now that I'm just trying to take a step back and save some money and figure out where I want to go.
Yeah. And I can put, I mean, I can also relate to that. I love traveling. And I mean, what you just said, you just said something very important, and it just it rang very true in my head. And it's the fact that you felt satisfaction, you know, that you went abroad and then you felt, you know, like this is something you want to do. And that's like super empowering. I feel that traveling empowers people. Even if you do it solo, it doesn't matter if you're like in a group or by yourself or with your partner or, you know, whatever, just getting to know other places,
right.
Scenery, listening to other languages, that alone is life-changing. Well, for me, that's my personal
experience,
but I hear you
and
talk.
I feel, I feel like it was life-changing, and it sounds, when I think about saying that out loud, I think that sounds like really lame, but how could a trip change your life? And I remember I read something on Facebook once about this feeling. I don't know where I saved it off at, but it had been so long since I'd done anything new, done anything international. And I'm much more mature than I was at 17 than when I went to Italy. And this is the Galapagos, somewhere I've wanted to go my entire life. I'm obsessed with animals. And it was amazing. Like, I feel like I almost cried thinking, this is how I want to live my life. I don't want to stay at home and raise a family and spend money on my children. Like, I want to save it up and I want to go on these trips. And obviously I'm restricted by the amount of vacation time I have, but it was really awesome. And the group I went with was, I didn't know any of them. It's 15 people, all under the age of about 32. And they were incredible. They were amazing. So I had a great time.
That's great. Good for you. That's so cool. So circling back to yourself, and telling us a little bit about your like personal story, So we were talking right before we started recording about, you know, friends, our friends in general, and having friends that are our parents. So what type of friends do you usually surround yourself with?
I feel like my friends are always a whole lot younger than me because, and I'm at the age now where a whole lot younger could be 5 to 6 years and they're not too immature, you know, or anything like that. But if you think about it, I mean, women my age are all having kids. Yeah. So two of my really good friends are, I think one just turned 23 and one's maybe 25 or 26, you know, they're single and not that I have a problem with people that are married, but they're single, they're child free. I know a lot of people that get married and or have kids and then suddenly they can't do anything without their husbands. Mm-hmm. You know, it's they're a group of two now. They're one. They're no longer two separate people. And I don't typically keep those friends for very long. And not that I don't respect their husbands or I like their husbands. It's just I need to be able to go out with my girlfriend on her, you know, without her husband. And so I have a couple really good friends that are married, one or two that have kids, and they're really, really good about, I don't want to say focusing on me, that sounds really selfish, but not talking about their kids 100% 24/7, complain about being a mother, anything like that. And maybe part of that's because they respect where I am with being child free. But definitely the women who are independent, who, you know, don't need to ask their husbands if they can go out or don't need to ask me if, oh, can my husband come along? I mean, I love your husband, but no, I just want to go get a drink with you. I want to go to happy hour, you know, and see how things are going. So that's, you know, usually they're a lot younger and if they have kids or married, they're pretty independent, pretty supportive. And I try to stay involved in their kids' lives. One of my good friends, I always go over there every time I go home. And we talk and play with her kid. And that's, you know, that's what it's evolved to. But we talk about us and talk about her. It's not just all about what has my kid done for the last 6 years or whatever. Yeah. And maybe I'm still fairly, you know, I'm not quite there yet with some of my friends. And I sometimes feel really bad. I was thinking about this. One of my friends, like, I'm like, oh, I haven't asked her about her daughter recently. But I see everything on Snapchat and Facebook. And I think another one of my good friends is pregnant. And I try to remember when I text her not to always be like, oh, here's what's going on in my life. Even though she really likes the drama that happens in my life. But, you know, hey, how are you feeling? You know, just trying to remember to ask about their kids and act about their boyfriends or their husbands and stuff like that. But maybe once my friends start to get multiple kids and, but I usually don't keep them, you know, I had a really good friend I've kind of separated myself from a little bit just because she became part of her husband and they're not two different people anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'll ever, you know, have friends like that other than on Facebook. Don't get me wrong. One of my friends is, you know, 17 posts a day is about her daughter. So it does exist.
Yeah, I get that too in my feed sometimes. So I just unfollow these people.
I usually have to do some of that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind seeing people's pictures from their vacation and, you know, travel. I love that. But kids is just like, no, it's just too much.
I just need you to check in every now and then, you know, let me know how they're doing, new picture and great. Send me a video, you know, a video of baby playing with the dog. I love that. But otherwise, I don't need 30 pictures a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about your relationship with yourself. Now, we talked a little bit your relationship with your friends, you have pets, your relationship with your job. Now, how's Lauren and Lauren's relationship?
You know, I was thinking a lot about this. This kind of thing about this podcast made me reflect a little bit and, you know, good. I think a lot of my self-esteem and self-confidence issues comes from dating. And obviously we talked a little bit before about kind of body issues and making sure I feel good in my own skin. And I usually do. It's really comes down to dating and society as a whole where I start to feel kind of insecure or I lack confidence. And I think that seems to be fairly somewhat, I'm going to say somewhat common. I'm not going to say every child-free woman has this problem, but you know, we are completely bucking societal norms. And I have other, you know, I don't want kids. I'm atheist. I'm a female in a science-related field. I tend to make more money than guys that I date, which, you know, okay, those are all somewhat expected these days. But a female not wanting kids, that is still, you know, beyond comprehension to some people. And we get some, you know, nasty comments. And I read things on Facebook that people have said to other child-free women, and it hurts me. And sometimes when that stuff builds up, you kind of just feel really bad. And I've had a couple little mini meltdowns, I call them, where I've just said to my mom, I said, why am I like this? Like, why was I made like this? Why do I not want this? And is this a society? Is this me trying to buck society? Is this me, Lauren, not wanting this? Why do I have to be different? And I've had a few sad nights, I think, because of that. But, you know, I think all those things will creep up on everybody once in a while.
Have you found any answers to that question from yourself?
You know, I think I've just had to sit there and say to myself, you need to be aware of what makes you happy. And the bottom line is, you could follow society and you could follow Facebook and you could easily find somebody who wants kids and you could go have kids. And sure, you would check all of those boxes. You'd be married, you'd have kids, you'd show off your baby on Facebook. But what would be going on behind the scenes? And I'll tell you right now, Lauren, that would not be good. Mm. I know you probably don't have this talked about, but I did actually get sterilized last year, where I had my tubes removed and my uterine lining removed. And I was very concerned about that decision for a while, because I kind of felt like sometimes in dating, maybe I could change their mind. Which sounds really, really, really terrible, because we all know when somebody tells us we're going to change our minds, we blow up at them, or we get angry, we get frustrated, we get mad. And I used to think, well, if I have everything intact, maybe they'll think I'll change my mind, but then I won't. And then we're married for 10 years and I'm like, oops, sorry, haven't changed my mind. And that's a terrible way to think. Trust me, I know that. And I would never want to waste 5-10 years with somebody and then they realize they want kids and I don't. And now I've wasted, you know, all this time.
Yeah.
So I was really concerned about this decision on my dating life. And I've realized it has made my dating life 100% easier, because I can no longer have that mental argument with myself.
Yeah.
You know, there is no of this, hey, maybe I'll change my mind, which I'm like, I'm not going to change my mind, but maybe I will, or maybe I convince him that I will, or maybe he'll convince me, or I'll convince, it was always about maybe I'll convince him, or maybe he'll think I'll change my mind, but guess what? I never won't. And now I can't. And I can lay it out there to everybody, like, hey, this is how it is. You know, you can take it or leave it. And I think, well, if they want kids, then I am not the person for them.
Yeah.
And this is not work. So it's honestly made things a lot easier in a really strange way.
Well, you just said it. I mean, it's made things easier only because you're not second guessing yourself.
Right. And I'm not trying to like convince somebody else that I'm going to, oh, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, haha, maybe I'll make them think that I'll change my mind.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, there is no changing. Like, this is what you get when you get me. There's no, because I think before I had this surgery and I was dating, I think guys legitimately thought that. Like, oh, and I had a guy tell me that once. I went on two dates with him, and he had made some off the cuff comment about kids after I'd already told him I don't want kids. We had this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling him and being like, why did you make that comment? And I said, you know, I don't want kids. So why are you dating me? He's like, oh, I just figured you meant right now.
And
he had just continued to date me. And I thought about that after surgery, and I was like, how many of these guys that I dated thought that?
Yeah.
You know, thought that, oh, she's just kidding, or she's going to change her mind, because so many people change their mind.
Yeah.
So it's dating's been harder now because of that, because I can't convince anybody I'll change, you know, they know I won't change my mind. But in a lot of ways, it's been a lot easier. So that's relaxed me a lot in the confidence area.
That's very good to hear. I mean, I'm curious now, because I mean, I've read a bunch of stories. There's several Facebook groups of, you know, child-free people, and also groups of women that are looking to get sterilized, mothers and women who are child-free as well. And it's usually harder for women who are child-free to get a doctor to accept, to sign off a sterilization than it is for a woman that has had children.
Yep.
So I'm a little bit curious about, how did the doctor take it in your case? Like, was he cool about it, or did you have to fight for it?
When I was 22 to 25, where I lived, my doctor there, she wouldn't even give me an IUD. She's like, I don't give IUDs to people who don't have kids yet, because there's too much of a risk to mess up, you know, your uterus. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Just take my whole uterus. Sorry. But she wouldn't even do that. And then when I moved to the state I was just in, the first doctor I went to, she was like, yeah, we'll do the IUD, and you can meet with the doctor about sterilization and you guys can talk. And I ended up canceling that appointment because I was going through a breakup right then, and I just didn't feel like I was mentally stable enough to make that decision at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. And I in the process ended up at another doctor. I had one doctor put my IUD in and that was it. And was the most painful. Honestly, getting the IUD in made me even like double down on my decision to never give birth, considering I almost passed out getting one of those in. And I thought, how in the world do women go through childbirth? Mm. I don't get it. So then in the process, I ended up at a different doctor because I had some issues I needed to get in quick, and he was amazing. I usually am not a big fan of male doctors that I've had in the past, but I brought it up to him kind of early, you know, kind of commented, didn't say much. And then for about a year, we were fighting some pelvic pain that I had and some other issues that were ongoing, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And after about a year, we decided that we were going to have to go into surgery to check for endometriosis. And I said, hey, you know, I've said a lot about being sterilized. I was wondering if we could talk about doing that while you're in there. It's like, I already needed to get my IUD out. We already need to check for endo. Let's combine these a little bit. And he said, okay. He's like, you haven't had any kids, right? I was like, no. He's like, you don't want any? No. And we talked a little bit about my options, you know, removing versus tying versus the uterine lining. He's like, I don't mind tying tubes for anybody because a specialist can go in and remove them and reconstruct them and you could get pregnant naturally. I don't even mind removing them because you can still do IVF. And he said, but if I take your uterine lining like that, that's everything. Like, you cannot do IVF. You will never hold a child. And I said, that's fine. I have a 6-page reasoning written up. I will print it off. I will notarize it. You can put it in my file. And he's like, no. He goes, no, that's fine. He goes, it's my job as a physician to tell you that it's permanent. And I said, it's permanent. And he goes, all right, we'll schedule your appointment. So I got, I think, beyond lucky that it was already a little bit of an established doctor and already had brought it up a few times. We had a conversation about it. And I remember him even asking me after on my, like 2 weeks after surgery, he's like, do you regret it? And I was like, oh my God, no. But I also had like really terrible periods and a lot of cramping and a lot of health issues down there. And I feel 1,000% better health-wise with all of that stuff fixed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I had a pretty easy experience, but I waited till I was 30 and I told him that. I said, I'm 30. Everyone told me to wait till you're 30. I want to do this. So I didn't push too much when I was younger than 30. I, you know, waited to that magic number where doctors think we magically will decide if we want kids or not at 30 and pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got very lucky and well, good for you. Find someone who's, you know, who was so understanding, because in the end, it's our choice. I mean, it's our body. It's our choice. We can do whatever we want with it. Right. And yeah. When you go to a doctor and they're just giving you all this evangelical speech about women meant to be mothers and blah, blah. I mean, for me, it blows my mind. It's like, you're a doctor. You've been how many years in, like, you know, studying in, you know, through med school or whatever? It's a long time. You're a scientist and you're talking to me about how women have to be mothers because it's right. Like, you know, wherever.
Or you'll change your mind. Or my favorite one is your future husband will want them. And I saw that, I saw a tweet once and the response was, oh great. My body belongs to a man I've never met more than it belongs to myself.
That's powerful.
And that has stuck with me. I've heard those words. Oh, what about your future husband? What if you meet somebody who wants kids? Then I won't marry them.
Yeah.
I won't date them. And I've, you know, kind of got a little fling going on here and he wants kids and he wants biological children. He doesn't want to adopt. And I just looked at him one day and I said, what happens if your wife can't have kids? What if she, you know, which is very common these days. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we'll figure it out. And I go, what do you mean you'll figure it out? I was like, you won't date me because I can't have my own biological children. That doesn't mean that you can't get a surrogate. That doesn't mean we can't adopt. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm kind of throwing excuses out of him right now. And I said, well, how is that any different than finding out your future wife can't have kids?
Yeah.
And he's like, we'll figure it out. And I was like, then you're going to be right and back in the same place you are right now with me, not being able to have kids. And I did kind of want to make him think, because I really truly believe he is kind of just looking for an incubator. Like, I think he is so desperate for that family life and that marriage and that kids. I think he's blinded by everything else, blinded by actually finding someone he's compatible with, you know, blinded by the fact that maybe what happens if I marry someone who can't have kids, you know, I don't know. So there's just, I'm glad I'm sterilized since I met him, because he'd probably try to get me to have kids and then I'd feel bad and then I'd be bad.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I completely understand where you're coming from. And before I let you go, because we're running out of time. So you said that Lawrence's relationship with Lawrence is good. On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being no love and 10 being healthy love for yourself, where do you think you place right now?
You know, I think in my head, I put like 5 to 8 question mark, because I have really good days where I'm an 8. I wouldn't say I'm a 10, because I think having so many things that just buck society constantly, it's really hard for me to always be a 10 because society's never going to get me. Mm-hmm. And so I would say 8 and 9 is like a highest where I'm feeling good, just had a good workout, maybe had a good date, maybe feeling good single, had a good day at work, you know. And then other days, maybe I do something bad at work. Maybe I say something I didn't mean. Maybe I ate really poorly. Maybe I had a bad date, or I lost a guy who really just wants kids. And I'm down to like a 4 or 5. So, you know, I don't know. I guess that averages out to like a 6 or a 7, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which is a good average.
Yeah.
I mean,
terrible.
No, it's not. Definitely not. But do you do anything in your daily routine to help you, feel that love for yourself?
It's taken a lot of time and a lot of maturity, I feel like. And I've had 2 really awesome therapists that I've gotten for other reasons, not for the child-free reasons, but, that I've talked to a lot about these issues and how I feel and dating and the stress and anxiety sometimes. And I think it's just taken a lot of like kind of self-talk, but kind of just reminding myself, hey, you know, that guy wasn't for you. And if I wanted kids, dating would still be hard. But that guy wasn't for you, and you know, you're in a good place. And since moving to Florida, I've kind of said earlier that I've been a lot more relaxed, where I feel better just sitting at home and doing nothing. And I used to feel stressed all the time. Like, I need to find somebody to spend all this time with. And I need to find somebody. I'm never going to be able to be married for 60 years, you know, and I'm wasting all this time. And I want to be involved in these groups. And I want to volunteer more. And I think it's just this constant reminding myself that, you know, you made the choices to be here. You're happy. I'm very happy with my choices of where I'm at in life. And don't let Facebook, don't let social media, don't let, you know, negative parts of dating, don't let any of that get you down. I think it's kind of just this constant self-talk almost.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good advice, I feel, because there is so much bombarding us every day. And you need to like take care of your space. By your space, I mean not only your body and your house, but also your mind.
Right.
Very important. Is there anything you would like to add before I let you go?
No, thanks for letting me talk about being child-free. I really enjoyed it.
No, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. We hope you tune in next week for our newest episode. And since we love hanging out with you, please be sure to follow us on social media at The Honest Uproar and visit our website at thehonestuproar.com. If you like what you heard, feel free to share with your fierce child-free firecracker friends. Until next time, continue fueling your inner fire.